up, what up, what's going on? It's Frequency, producer extraordinaire. You're checking out the mixtape with my man Six Sense and Mick Boogie. Let's go for it.
Yeah. It's your boy Six Sense. Let's go.
Yeah, you know what it is. From the moment you come over the bridge, and I'ma show you some shit. 8 million roaming the strip, and I hope you ain't alone in the crib.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is New York HR. It's Anthony Onesto, your host. And again, we are back. We didn't take this summer lull like everybody else. We're working our asses off. And what we're going to talk about today is something really near and dear to my heart, because many years ago, I applied for a job and silence. I got nothing, no response, nothing, and I was now the kids are calling it ghosting. So I was ghosted by recruiters. And so today I have Katrina Collier, who is an author, a speaker, a contrarian. I just love Katrina. How are you doing today? Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about what we're going to talk about today.
I'm sitting over here in London with my feet up on the table in the sunshine going, yeah, this is a tough old job I've got.
Wait, I want to call bullshit on the fact that you have sunshine in London right now.
Like, be rude. It's summer. Now, what happens is when all the Americans come to London, we put on our best grey weather. It's literally when you're all here, which is August usually. But it's honestly sunny. It gets very hot in my office in the afternoon. So I am Katrina Collier. I'm super excited that the Robot Proof Recruiter has just been published. However, everyone in America has to wait 20 more days. And there's much upset over that and quite a lot of jealousy going on, which is really cute. I'm loving that. But I also speak and facilitate sessions all around candidate engagement. So I believe we are now in a time where finding people's easy, getting people to respond is really hard, and keeping them in the process, hence the ghosting, is even harder. But I just, as soon as I saw your show, I'm like, I'm sorry, but I have to call BS on candidate ghosting. It's got to be done.
Love it. Love it. And listen, we love calling BS. And of course, if you're new to the show, we like to call bullshit on things. Yeah, right. Exactly. We love to call bullshit on, but we also provide a viewpoint, and hopefully it's a contrarian one and one that people like. But I really appreciate you being on the show. I'm excited about this one because it's definitely near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
And so what we're talking about today is this idea of candidate ghosting. It's this thing that's happening in the recruiting space these days. Hmm. And again, whatever, you know, ignoring, whatever you want to call it, you know, the millennials and the Zers are calling it ghosting, but we called it ignoring people. And so ghosting sounds much cooler. But this idea that you're reaching out to candidates and they're not getting back to you. So talk to me a little bit about
what
this idea is.
Okay. So to me, it's more than that. So to me, ghosting really happens when you say been to an interview or an offer and you don't hear back. So have I still got you? Anthony.
Yep.
Oh, I thought I lost you there for a second. I thought I'd just been ghosted on my call, which was quite funny.
just ghosted you, which would have been really awesome, by the way. That's
really
a good
funny,
idea.
Really interesting moment. I have noticed that technology keeps failing on me every time I get very impassioned and start swearing. It's quite hilarious. But yeah, so it is really bad if people do apply for a role and it goes into a black hole and you never hear back. That's pretty bad, right? Because that's a really easy thing to have thought. But I think it's even worse when somebody's been through the interview process. So they have spent hours preparing, coming in, interviewing to never hear back. And this has been going on for a good decade where recruiters have not been going back to people. So what's happening now is if you have people with highly sought after skills, they're just going, do you know what? You've treated me poorly through this recruitment experience. I'm going to stop replying to you. So it can even be where a recruiter gives a candidate an offer. They could have even signed the offer and they just don't start. They disappear.
Huh.
And it's
and
kind of funny because, it happens a lot. I mean, I think it's kind of funny because we're in this strange situation now where we have so many avenues of communication. So I was thinking before I came on the call, I started having a chat with somebody on LinkedIn. We then switched to Messenger. We then switched to WhatsApp. Now, to keep track of that conversation is quite challenging, but it's like that person wants to use LinkedIn, Messenger, and WhatsApp. So me, if this was me as a recruiter, as opposed to me, what I do now, it's up to me to change, to adapt to that person. But I think companies are still going, I'm just going to use email and I'm just going to use my applicant tracking system. So some of it is we have so many ways of communicating, but we're not using them. And the other thing is that just people are fed up. They're sick of being mistreated. When I was researching for the book, I mean, I already, you know, knew a lot of this, but, you know, you're looking for really chunky examples. Just putting in like an x-ray search of Glassdoor interview reviews of never heard back. The results are staggering. I mean, it's just really monumentally high. And then if you go into Twitter, like you could do interview never heard back in inverted commas into Twitter and find hundreds and hundreds of tweets of people going, you know, I was so excited about this opportunity. I put all of my emotion into it and never heard back. So it's like, can recruiters please improve their own behavior first before they start saying that candidates are ghosting on them? Because I believe it's something we're not doing. Like, we're not.
So I talk about this all the time, right? You have HR people, you have recruiters. These are smart people, right? These are, they should be, right, exactly. What would motivate someone to put someone through an interview process and then all of a sudden not reach out? And at the offer letter is mind-blowing to me, by the way. It's like you're already down, like you agreed to get married and you're left at the altar. Like, why do you think that's happening?
I think it comes down to several things, really. So if we talk about, you know, a recruiter, I hear of recruiters having 30 to 45 roles each, which is just insane. So if a company doesn't want to go out and use agencies to recruit, they're hiring their own in-house recruiter and putting them under such incredible pressure that they actually just can't keep up with everything. So it's not necessarily intentional. They're just overwhelmed. Then you just get, we're allowed to be graphic here, aren't we? You just get hiring managers that are assholes that won't give feedback, or they'll give feedback like, they just went right. Excellent. Thank you. How am I meant to feed that back? How is that human being who invested all of their time and energy into that interview meant to improve for the next one with they just went right? Like, so there's that. Yep. And then I think there's not enough training for recruiters to push back on hiring managers and say, no, that's not good enough. And the reason it's not good enough is here are our Glassdoor reviews. That's stopping us from hiring because you won't invest the time with me up front. So there's like a lack of confidence to do that, perhaps is the right word. So it's such a mix. I mean, you recruit, you know. I also think technology has got in the way. We've got the wrong technology in place as well. It's very easy to buy tech because it's got the latest bells and whistles and seems amazing, but actually no recruiter has helped create the technology. And therefore, you should just not buy that tech because it won't help. It just won't help.
Well, it's interesting to me because I always equated recruiting to, we called it talent marketing. And it's not a BS kind of title. We truly believed in the fact that we were marketing for talent. But you think of a company like I work for, Suzy, we're a SaaS platform. Mm-hmm. So we have a marketing department. We spend money to get leads. Those leads come in and a sales development or an SDR, as we call them, sales development representative, is reaching out to that lead and seeing if we can close a deal. And we spend a ton of money across the board on sales capital, like human capital and sales.
Yep.
And yet we're, you know, when you look at every survey that's done around CEOs, the number one concern, these are global Fortune 5, Fortune 1000 companies, talent is the number one issue. And yet it's an area that we continuously underfund, understaffed, right? Because I'm going back to the point of having 30 to 45 jobs open for a recruiter is insane. That's like, you wouldn't have an SDR working on 45 leads, right? You'd hire another SDR because you know you want to close deals, right? So why are companies not investing?
Can I tell you something even funnier on the back of that? This particular company has 4,000 staff and they all have a LinkedIn recruiter seat. Yeah.
Wow.
None of them are using it. Can you imagine how much money that is?
$5 billion. That's,
I'm
going to do rough math,
but
$5 trillion.
Right.
Yeah,
so I'm
exactly.
going to her, run a search, work out how many seats you need. It'll be 10. Delete the rest and there's your budget. Like, there's your budget for Onboarder, which is the most amazing onboarding tool. So candidates won't ghost because you're keeping in touch with them. So you guys only have a 2-week notice period, whereas over here it can be 4 weeks. So you give me a contract to start a job, or a letter of offer, or whatever rubbish you want to call that ridiculously long thing that we have to sign. And I like, I can lose in the process, because in those 4 weeks or 2 months, as it could be, or even three, I'm getting so many job offers thrown at me because I'm visible on the internet, easy to find, like all people are.
Sure.
So job offers, job offers, job offers, if you don't keep in touch. So I'm saying to her, why don't you just move the money and say, no, that's it, no more. No more LinkedIn recruiter seats. Forget it. Nobody's using them. This is stupid. We need the money. For me, I need 2 more staff members at least. And could we, you know, invest in some really good tech? So it's just crazy. But then you get companies, oh, no, we need them to have their 4,000 seats because someone's getting a backhander somewhere. Oh, sorry, that's cynical.
So you also talked about hiring manager feedback. So what are some of your ideas? Like, what are some takeaways from that? Like, how can we improve that process?
Well, other than, small plug, but other than buy my book, to read the chapter that I pretty well crowdsourced.
Plug away, by the way. Plug away.
So Steve Levy, fellow New Yorker, and Mayisha Cannon and Tanja Pettis helped me write the beginning of chapter 5, which is about get your intake right. And in there, it is about not just sitting with the hiring manager and making sure that actually the job description is actually what you need. You know, most of the time they just rip one out from 2 years ago, don't they, and throw it at you and say, find one of these, and they're not even relevant, you know.
Right.
But it also goes
copy from a competitor's site, yep.
Yeah, let's have one of those. We don't need them, but let's have one of those. But then it also goes into setting SLAs. So how to actually say, right, if you're going to interview on Friday, you're going to give me feedback by the end of play on Tuesday, because we're going to go back to people within 48 hours. And then if we decide to go to the next round, it's going to be within these days. And it's like setting rules and setting boundaries and getting the buy-in from your hiring managers that they agree to that. Because you sort of have to show them how now, with this beautiful transparent world that we live in, you know, the internet started it, and then Google for Jobs just made it even more transparent, because it brings the reviews right there in front of the candidates, and kind of showing them how all of this transparency is impacting recruitment so that they have to agree to these SLAs or we're just not going to be able to hire. And you really do want to hire the best people, right? I mean, really?
Theoretically.
The most suitable people for your
that.
Company to make your company profitable.
But here's you know, so I get all that. I agree with it, but I'm, again, going to be a bit contrarian here. I don't think managers do it. I think you put an SLA, you do all these things. They're not, I think, to me, it's, and I've talked about this in my career, it's got to hit their pockets. Like, money, follow the money, and you follow the intent, you follow the motivation. And so if there's a way to put it as part of their performance review feedback and that kind of, like, you know, HR, your partner, whatever it is, provides feedback, and they're hit in their pocket, they're then motivated to go, all right, you know, to think about this idea of the war for talent and people want talented people. I think people just want to get their shit done. Honestly.
Yeah, you want
and
the right
people.
So when I said best people,
right.
When I said best people, I should have said right people, right? You're just the right people to make your company profitable. But going back to what you just said, to make that happen, really, HR either needs to be in the ear of the CEO or on the frigging board, which they're not, which is kind of crazy because the people are the thing that make the company profitable at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But that's too big a picture for me to go into that one on this show. But it's a too big a topic. But
for another show.
I know.
It's called
it's
BS
not even
on board.
It's just kind of crazy. But you've kind of got – it's got to come from the top down to those hiring managers as well as us bringing it up. So if we're bringing it – I shouldn't say that way – they might be a peer, but, you know, if we can show them the reviews and show them the impact, and you've got the CEO saying it's going to affect your bottom line, but also for us to say, so if I don't get Anthony in, how behind is that project going to get and how much is that going to cost you? You know, particularly if you're working for a consultancy, you're doing, what's it called? SaaS. I always forget that one. Software as a service,
exactly.
right?
Yeah.
So if you're not delivering that,
It's a fancy way to call it technology. Yeah.
Thank you, technology. I just couldn't think of that. There was double A, S, or S. It's like you're on the spot on these shows, yeah. But if you couldn't get the right people in to deliver that to your customers, what's that going to cost? And it's like you have to constantly put it in their face all the time. What's that going to cost you if I don't get you that person? And if you do all of that in that intake and get their buy-in. But then, of course, you have to have the confidence to stand by the boundary you put in place. So it's like a natural boundary. You know, we're not very good at setting those and sticking with them by saying, this is how it's going to be. And then if you have a hiring manager that's not doing that, I think as an internal recruiter, you should know that your butt's covered by your management and you can just walk away and say, no, Anthony refuses to do what I've asked. He can't see the bigger implication. He's putting the business in jeopardy and future recruitment in jeopardy. I'm going to step away until he gets it.
But we're positioned as... in service. Yeah. I mean, listen, we're positioned as in service to the rest of the organization. So that's hard, right? That's hard to say, I'm just going to stop servicing you from a recruiting perspective.
Because you're
the blocker.
Yeah, you are the blocker. But the reason I'm being the blocker is that look at these, there's a review. Here's somebody you definitely interviewed who's just written, I never heard back. They treated me like dirt. The manager was arrogant. Like you're not stepping up. I need you to step up. The world's transparent. The world's changed. You know, I wrote a beautiful bit in the beginning of the book. When I started my career, I fell into the bank in like 30 years ago. Let's go with 30. It sounds better than the truth. And it's a bit under 30 years. I lie, actually. Under. Anyway, it was toxic as hell. The second in charge was being sick at lunchtime. I was reduced to tears by making the most ridiculously small mistake because I was trainee, for goodness sake, but it was carrot or the stick. But when the internet started showing what it was like to work in a company, all of a sudden employee engagement mattered. You know, are your people happy? We've got well-being programs. We care about mental health. We didn't care about that 25, 30 years ago. So, but in a way, a lot of the managers probably started out when I did and actually don't even realize, unless they're lucky like me, you know, kind of got out and see it big picture because I go in and out of so many companies. But they don't realize in their bubbles that actually the world really is different now and really how they're behaving is impacting recruitment. And they just have to change whether they want to or not. So,
and
which
are
is
you
fun because I get to do that.
Are you seeing a trend from, you know, some of the traditional manager profiles to, you know, the millennials who theoretically are more woke, quote unquote? Are you seeing a trend where they are responding, are providing more feedback, or is it still sort of the same old, even with newer, younger managers?
I refuse to go into generational typecasting because I don't believe in it, because I'm the most millennial Gen X you'll ever meet. I think people are people, and some people will be afraid to give feedback whatever their age. So therefore, some will give it and some won't give it. And if they're not taking the task on it, if they're not made to own it, if they're not taught how to do it. So my friend Sue Ingram has written this amazing book called Firewell, which her job is to teach managers and baby managers especially how to fire someone so they'll thank you. But it's also about difficult conversations. So all of your managers shouldn't just be promoted and left to die, which is pretty well what happens. They should be promoted and given training on how to have difficult conversations, how to give feedback, how to give something constructive. Because all of those people that come into interview, all of those candidates, they're humans with feelings and emotions. They just want to improve. They want to know what they did wrong, that somebody else got the role over them. Or perhaps it was just a smidgen of a thing. And actually it was like, oh, God, it really was down to the wire. We just couldn't pick between you. So...
yeah, I love it. I mean, we subscribe to, you know, something very similar to Sue's methodology, which is the radical candor. So really love that because the idea is that you have to care personally and challenge directly, which is a key factor in feedback.
But,
by the way, Steve,
one thing I'll say about that, though.
He's the co-host of the show.
Oh, did he?
Shout out to Steve, the old format of the show. He was on board.
Steve
and
I had
a ball
when he was just over here in London. Yeah, he's my CC. very special man to me. Just something on the radical candor, though, and you'll find a podcast on Phil Wilcox, Emotion at Work, me talking about an unhealed victim of child abuse, and I'm now not. I have now, like, completely healed my child abuse. But to give me radical candor, no matter how well-intended it was, would have led to complete breakdown in tears, or I rip your jugular out. It never came back with how it would come back now, where I would just calmly answer you. So though I really agree with it, I do think there needs to be an education around if somebody's really, really prickly, they have had serious stuff go down, because most of us shouldn't be that defensive. And I think it's like, I was just impossible to give feedback to until I worked through my stuff. And I've now worked through it, and I'm a completely different person, very relaxed. Now you can say what you want. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But yeah, just if you get something like that, it might be worth pulling out my podcast and having a listen.
That sounds great.
It doesn't compete with you at all, by the way.
Awesome. I love it. The last piece of the equation you talked about was tech, right? So this shiny object, whether it's AI, recruiting bots, whatever it is, what's the answer there, right? Because you wrote the book is the Robot Proof Recruiter, right? So you obviously have a position, a strong one on this.
I do.
What are your thoughts around tech? And is there anything that's literally blowing your hair back in the technology space?
Oh, definitely. So, look, it was a bit tongue-in-cheek calling it the robot-proof recruiter. Like I've already mentioned the bank. When I was in the bank, automatic tellers were going to replace us all. But there are still cashiers or tellers or whatever you like to call them in the bank. There are still humans you can go to take money out, right, for a mundane transaction. Yep. And you're kind of going, career? I'm going to give my career to a robot? I think not. You know, it's already got to that point where candidates don't respond to recruiters because they've got so much spam. I just can't believe that on the outreach, like on the sourcing messaging side, that people will respond to a robot. I mean, I actually had a robot call about an hour ago for apparently I've had a car accident, which I haven't, by the way. But it's like, oh, go away. It's more noise. However, that said, once they've landed on your career site, for example, I think that's an amazing time. So you've got Zalando, there's two examples in the book. One is Zalando in Germany, where once people arrive, they keep them on the site because they use the little bot thing to, you know, the chatbot-y thing to direct them around the website and give them the information they need. And if they can't automatically give them the information, then a human steps in and gives it to them. So like as a joke, I said, what color is Chris Raw's beanie? Because Chris was behind the chatbot. And I got a human answer, because he came back and answered me. And then on Yodel's website, they've got one to, you can actually deselect yourself out because they're always looking for couriers. So you go through all of these questions. And then one is, can you carry something that's 30 kilos? So I went, no. And it went, oh, I'm sorry, Katrina, this isn't for you. And I'm like, excellent. So that's when it's great. The other one is Onboarder, Nboarder, Enboarder. It seems to be the only tool that will actually get you to send stuff in that notice period time. Again, I know you guys have only got 2 weeks, but even still. And it's stuff like gifts and videos and like, this is what the office looks like. This is what how your first day is. You're going to walk in and this is who you're going to sit next to. And we've got all your kit ready. And it's like really making people feel less stressed about their first day. And stuff like that will stop ghosting. You just have to go above and beyond all the way through everybody. Yep. And I think where it's also great is the recruiter's job to me is now from how you look online, like, do you look worthy of someone's time? Does your company? Are you getting that intake right? Are you then doing great messaging, job description? Then they're responsible for all the interviewing. And then now they're responsible for actually onboarding, how they're treated and how they come out the other side, because all of that will impact their ability to hire. Because if you don't onboard them well, it's something like 45% of people decide in the first week if they're staying. So if you don't onboard someone well, they're going to go out and say, well, I started and it was crap. Don't go there. Let's stop shamaring. If you don't treat them well through their employment life cycle, then they're going to talk about it. And if you don't offboard them properly, then they're also going to talk about you. So it's like, in a way, it's like you've got to keep an eye on everything. It's not fair to a recruiter, but that's how it is.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love the idea of Nboarder and the technology.
Nboarder. Is it Nboarder? I keep pronouncing it incorrectly. I think like French.
I don't know.
Like, It's not Endor.
Well, you know, we kill the language here in the U.S. anyway, so.
Yeah. By the way, my little poll on Twitter, my poll's doing really well. So I did recruiters create candidate ghosting through their own behavior. I've got 15 votes. I did only put it up a little while ago. And we are, yes, sadly, yes, 93%. The don't be mean is Audra.
Interesting.
Yeah. So go vote on my poll. It's on Twitter.
Yeah, so they're saying it's go to Katrina's Twitter.
Katrina
and
M.
Vote
Collier.
On that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Very cool. So so we have about, 4 minutes left. You know, we're trying to keep it to the 30 minutes. Hopefully no one fell asleep yet. This has been really cool. We actually have two folks. I've never done this part of the show, and I'm gonna try it out here. We have a couple of folks on the line. So
it's probably
Debbie.
Levy. One of them will be Levy.
Oh, maybe it's somebody named Debbie here. I'm gonna see if we can get you on the line.
I love
Debbie.
Debbie.
Hold on 1 second. Let's see what happens. Debbie, are you there? Debbie, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Welcome to the show. I've never had
a great guest show.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Who are you? Where are you from? And do you have a question?
I'm a lifelong stalker of Katrina Collier. I hang on her every word. She's
in the book.
Katrina is where I've learned all of my tricks. When I stopped being able to find candidates, I said, what the hell is going on? And I stumbled across Katrina, and she basically taught me everything I was doing wrong.
And then I put her on page 39 in the book.
Ah, perfect. Awesome. And Debbie, what do you do? Are you, you're a recruiter? Where do you work?
I do. I am the CEO of a company called H2B, which is human to business consulting. And basically, my company is an extension of Katrina's thought on recruiting, which is that really at the end of every transaction is a human being with a mortgage payment and a family and someone who's trying to maintain a level of self-respect. And ghosting is this is something that Katrina and I we've talked about in the past.
We have.
It's one of the reasons that people despise recruiters. It's because they feel that recruiters don't treat them with dignity.
So it's payback, isn't it? They're just paying them back.
That's right.
You know, you're a record. You have record unemployment. You have all these folks, getting two or three offers before you even contact them. So it's a candidate market, and I don't know if we'll ever shift back to a recruiter market. Obviously, we'll have dips in the market, and unemployment will go up. But I don't think we will because
of technology. Because of the transparency, I don't think we can ever go back.
True. Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I absolutely agree. I think, and you always have to differentiate, even though if the market gets less competitive for talent, you still have to differentiate because you're always going to have Google's, Amazon, and all these other companies. But my question for Debbie, since we are a show calling bullshit on things, is there anything that you would like for us to call bullshit on before we go to our next caller, Debbie?
Ooh.
Did we lose you, Debbie? Are you thinking?
I think we lost
her. We might have lost Debbie. Debbie, thanks for calling in. Thanks for calling in. We're going to go. Yeah, we're going to go to Gabby now. Let's see. Gabby, are you there? Gabby?
Hello. Gabby hasn't got her headset on.
Gabby may be on mute. All right. Well, we did one.
Oh,
we had one.
We
that
tried.
Was an unprecedented moment. Unprecedented moment on the show. I've never done that before. So that was awesome. Thank you for calling bullshit on candidate ghosting. If you were to leave our audience with one aha thing that people can tweet, what would that be? No pressure.
take the time to think about your interview process and like how you would feel going through it, actually run through your interview process beginning to end, literally apply everything, but just take a few moments to think about how you would feel if you were changing jobs, what fears you would have, you know, like Debbie mentioned that, can I pay my mortgage? Can I pay the rent? Can I pay the school fees? Just think about what experience you would like to have and then go deliver that.
I love it. Anything else? Yeah. So you got the book coming out. It's already released in the UK. We're a little bit delayed here in the US. We have 20 days. Is that what you're saying?
I know. It's so rude. I don't know why that happens like that. So I don't even think you can get it faster from the publisher.
Are there tariffs maybe that we're – I'm kidding. Not to get into politics.
No, we're not doing that.
Well,
no. I have global entry to the US. I will not lose it.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, you're welcome here anytime. Thank you.
Thank you
so much, Katrina. You've been so much fun. Thank you for calling Bullshit
Thank
on
you.
Candidate Ghosting. We wish you the best with the book. And if you
Thank
need
you.
To, if people need to get to you, if they want to talk to you, they want to, what are the channels? Where are you sort of most active on social?
Everywhere. I honestly Google me.
Everywhere.
It's dreadful. I'm like the first 20 pages of Google. You can go to Boring LinkedIn if you wish. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. I'm very easy to find. Obviously, I have a website and everything. So
awesome.
Very easy to find.
And make
very.
Sure you go to your wherever you buy books, the Robot Proof Recruiter
out
now in the UK.
Yep.
One
more thing.
US.
If they send me a LinkedIn, invite to connect, I expect it to be personalized to say, I heard you on this show.
Perfect. I love it. So my mom is the only listener to the show, so I'll make sure she does.
I love
that.
I look forward to meeting mom.
All right. Katrina, have a wonderful
again.
Sunny day in London. Thanks for being part of the show.
Thank you for having me. Take care.